This is follow on a little bit of my explanation from the last public talks, which I did on the theme, giving a little bit more detail and try to make you understand that these things are real. You know, most people are in the worldly consciousness, and the worldly consciousness is pretty stable. It's kind of always on the same frequency, the same vibration. Every day of your life, you live and you die, and that's it. But what we are talking about is something radically different. And I started off the public talks by mentioning that the sun goes through various parts of space, and then you have what we call a new age. You know, like we have Piscean age, you have Aquarian age. And most people think that what's happening now in the world is simply a change of the way the solar system is moving through space from Piscean star systems to Aquarian star systems and so on. In other words, they think of it as a special happening, and you get astrologically different energies from space, which is true. So that's what people think the New Age is about. Leaving the Piscean dispensation and getting into the Aquarian Age, and everybody talks about the qualities of Aquarius, and you can definitely feel it. That kind of thinking which science employs, logical, rational mind, that's definitely Aquarius. So those of you who are astrologers or knew something about the New Age, you know that there's a certain change has taken place and is taking place from the last 2,000 years. However, that's not the important thing. It's not the big thing. So the mystery is that something else is possible on this planet. Interdimensional awakening and planetary transformation. It's something different from what the astrologers talk about the Aquarian Age. That exists, and that's fine, that's true. But we're talking about something even more profound. What's happening is a kind of a unique possibility for the planet and every human being on this planet, something which didn't exist before, and something which the prophets and the great seers have forecast. For many hundreds of thousands of years, the planet Earth did the normal thing which planet Earth is supposed to be doing, traveling in space with the sun, with our solar system, and periodically go through what they call certain changes caused by different situations in the solar system and outside the solar system. But however, what the ancient prophets and great enlightened beings forecast a possibility for this planet, a possibility for the future evolution of humanity, which is radically different from the normal cyclic progression of our, you know, solar system through space and time and our planets within the solar system. Something else. And that's what we would call interdimensional awakening and planetary transformation. So it's nothing to astrological cycles, it's something much more, something that comes from a different direction. And this is what I've been trying to suggest to you in the last few talks, of a tremendous opportunity which is possible now for humanity, which is a culmination of many, many centuries, many thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years of what? Inner evolution. It's nothing to do with world changes outside. So in this interdimensional awakening, we have a possibility for all of us, in the same way as was possible for the Buddha, or for the Christ, or for the great prophets to attain enlightenment. Now, when you look back the soul enlightenment process, the liberation, enlightenment, self-realization, God-realization process, in the past hundreds of thousands of years, there's one here, one there, you know, infrequently somebody attained nirvana, or the kingdom of God, or Tao, or the infinite light, or God, or whatever you like to call it, truth. Every now and then, some person here in this country or that country attained it. So it was kind of an isolated affair. And those people became the teachers, founders of new religions, you know, from Mohammed to Moses to Lao Tzu in China, or Buddha or Christ. They attained a certain degree of higher consciousness, and then because they were unique amongst mankind at that time, they became the mankind's leaders. They became the teachers, the great prophet and seers who told mankind about the possibility of higher evolution. Okay, so that has been going on for a very long time, during the times of the Egyptians and the Romans and the Greeks and Babylonians and way, way back into ancient times, Atlantean times. So this kind of awakening to a higher reality was few isolated cases. Now, what we're talking about at the moment, which is possible for us, is a planetary awakening, a possibility of awakening for all of mankind into a higher dimension of awareness. Imagine we have an opportunity and a tremendous crisis. It's two things possible, because I mentioned in my last talk that there is a pressure from the inner worlds, starting right from the nirvanic world, down to Buddhic dimension, down to the causal worlds, the heaven worlds, down to the astral worlds, down to the etheric, physical, and physical. There's a pressure of energy coming down steadily. And this will increase. It started in about 1875, and it will increase for the next 200 or 300 years. So it means that within the next 200 or 300 years, it is possible for all of humanity to go through an interdimensional awakening, and the whole planet, the physical planet, to undergo a transformation. So what does that mean? It's a little bit more than nowadays just to sit down and meditate for peaceful mind, or when you had a stressful fight out with your husband or wife, and you sit down to meditate to make peace again. You know, that's not what the whole thing is about. It's much more serious than that. You have heard the word frequency and vibration, although we use it in a much wider context, you know, not just in physics or sort of in a limited way, but more on a universal understanding, universal scale. Here's the situation at the moment. This higher frequencies are coming down, starting from the kingdom of God, the nirvanic dimension, where the kingdom of God is, if you like, the ultimate kingdom of God, or the kingdom of light is. And certain types of energy is pushing down on the lower dimensions. And of course, it is slowly manifesting through the astral dimension already, and it slowly started manifesting in the physical dimension. Okay, so what's happening? This is very important to understand, because if it's going to happen in the next 25, 50 or 100 years, some of you are actually going to be involved. There's a prophecy that's going to happen in 2012, which is far too soon. But in any case, things are happening now, and I would say at least 50, 100 or 200 years before the process will complete itself. So what's happening now? You have a normal consciousness. You are born, you go to school, you get married, you have 10 children, and then you die. And in the meantime, you do some work, okay? It's very routine. Everybody does the same thing. There's nothing exceptional about your life process in that level at all. And it is possible, because the structure, the frequency, the vibration of the planet was reasonably steady up to 1875. The planet vibrated a certain, what they call a keynote, a basic fundamental vibration. You know, the sun has a fundamental vibration, the moon has, Earth has, the Venus, all the planets have certain fundamental vibration. And that carried on century after century after century after century. So life formed certain ways of doing things. You know, your physical life, human society structured physical life in a certain accepted pattern. You know, you're supposed to work, you're supposed to contribute to your society, you're supposed to have some kind of interrelationship with other human beings. So they made all kinds of rules and regulations how you should behave, how you should do this and how you shouldn't do that, so on and so on. So over the hundreds of thousands of years, society built up a certain concept of how it should function. And some societies function better, and some societies worse, and some societies don't function at all. As you know, in certain places, in certain parts of the planet, human beings just simply live by chaos, okay, or lawlessness. All right, so there's a basic accepted kind of pattern we built up in society, how we should live and how we should order our lives. And that went on quite well, because the vibration of the planet essentially didn't change. It was always the same. So you know that if you are born, you're going to go through a certain life experience and you die. It was all predicted, and there's nothing seriously different about it. However, now we have another challenge which will affect you and which the next 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, those of you alive. and definitely the next generation will be very much affected by it. And the challenge is that those vibrations are slowly dissolving or no longer applied. And you notice that since 1875, things have speeded up. There's more cars on the road, right? Nowadays, you just take it for granted that there's several billions of cars every moment running on all the roads around the planet. You know, you just think, well, there's nothing to it. Now, 300 years ago, that would have been impossible. You can't imagine that many people moving 300 years ago on all the roads of the planet. Now, just think the difference. One or two people in one or two places on a horseback or a horse cart moving on the road. And there are tens of millions of people simultaneously moving all across the planet day and night, all the time. One change shows that something has happened to the planet, okay? The ability to move, it shows that the planet undergone a drastic change, which wasn't there 300 years ago, 200 years ago. Just think about it logically, because that will make you understand things a bit better. Communication. 200 years ago, 300 years ago, if you wanted to communicate somebody, you wrote a letter, and the letter was delivered by a person who... There were no post office, but you gave the letter, you sealed it, in a wax seal, and then he trotted on his horse and spent several days or months or years to deliver the letter to you. Today, you flick up on your internet, and in 1 minute, your message is sent across the world. There's a tremendous leap between 200 or 300 years ago and today. It is a huge change already, just on the physical level. If you look at all the things which have changed the last 200 or 300 years, it's just enormous. That's purely on the physical world level, how the physical world functions. Even if you don't count anything spiritual, you have to admit that there's some tremendous changes have taken place. Vast changes, impossible changes, which weren't even dreamed of by the prophets or by the ancients. Even the greatest, even the Christ, never forecasted all these changes. Nobody could in those days, 2,000 years ago, foresee the tremendous changes. It's already on the physical level. And that's because of the stimulation coming from interdimensional energies, frequencies, okay? However, this is not even the all, because one thing is to accept the physical changes, which simply the result of interdimensional pressure, higher frequency energies pushing down onto this physical world. But there's something else. This is only affecting your physical life. It's talking about your consciousness itself, the very things which makes you what you are, your inner essence, your inner consciousness. Now, here is the big revolution. Slowly and slowly, those energies are pressurizing the human consciousness itself to change. The very essence which you are is pressurized to change. Now, from about 1875, this inner pressure manifested in the fact that more and more people are interested in esoteric knowledge, in the philosophy of yoga, in mysticism, interested in really, really understanding life or understanding what the whole thing is about, not because they were taught by the Catholic Church or by the Buddhist sect or by a Hindu sect, not because they are taught, but they, inspired from within themselves, wanted to know, really know, not simply a tradition which was given by religion, you know, the local church or something, but something really, really different, something they wanted to know. So that's been slowly increasing since 1875, and that's also still only an outer sign. And here is what I really want to tell you. What's happening is a cosmic pushing down from the astral world, because the energies already went down to the astral world already, functioning there. The astral world is already being rechanged, re-energized. Now, that energy is slowly penetrating into the physical dimension. Now, it's going to be a huge crisis. Maybe not for you, but it's going to be a huge crisis for hundreds of millions of people. Now, just imagine that we still have lots of materialistic people in this world who deny the existence of any invisible order of life, any invisible worlds. They deny the existence of God or the soul or spirit or something non-material. They deny that there's such things. Now, as the years will go on, the next 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years, you will see that this inward pressure will actually begin to change the very physical structure of the human being, the whole physical body mechanism, the whole emotional feeling mechanism, the astral mechanism, and the whole mental structure, what's called the mental body or mind structure, is going to pressurize it. So you have a situation when you have a materialistic person who does not believe in anything else and suddenly has this pressure in the head of a vastness opening up, begins to sense the great invisible, infinite realms, infinite worlds, infinite universes, infinite dimensionless realities, okay, indescribable realities. So you have all these millions of materialistic people who up to that time they were in denial of anything but the solid physical world which they are used to, and suddenly they have got this sensation of something terribly vast, which is quite normal in the inner dimensions. They begin to sense this vastness and infinite energy fields and infinite realities. So what's the result? They go insane. You know, either they crack up and they go insane, or a few of them might be able to penetrate and annihilate their ego and dissolve in that vast infinitude. A few of them. Most of them just go insane. They can't handle it. All right? So, what the urgency of the spiritual teachers at the moment is to impress on the people that you can actually prepare yourself for these changes. And we've been doing it for the last 30 years very steadily. You have what we call mantric sequences, which speed up your consciousness so that you can able to register higher frequency vibration. So basically, as you refine your vibration level, when you feel this omnipresence pressing on you, this vast infinitudes of consciousness pressing on you, you are able to tune in without your ego being annihilated, without your conscious self being annihilated in the process. So you have what we call interdimensional awakening. Now, the interdimensional worlds are very, very vast. You have what they call the astral world, which is already changing, the heaven worlds, which already has changed, and then you have the Buddhic dimension, the worlds of unities, which have already changed, and the Nirvanic dimension, which has already changed also. Whichever world you tune yourself in, depending on your ability to sense higher frequency vibration. So most of the human beings will tune into only the astral world, because that's the, in terms of energy, reality is the closest to our dimension here. So hundreds of thousands of people will sense the astral energies, the astral forces, the astral entities, the astral vibrations. And even without going any further than that, that will actually unbalance a whole lot of people. Just imagine if you suddenly walking along this road and you suddenly sense a lot of astral entities around you, good, bad, and indifferent, you know. Suddenly you feel that your normal sense of awareness of the trees disappeared and all you see is a lot of astral entities and astral scenes and astral world. Now, unless you were prepared for that, unless you actually understand these things, it will make you insane. And that's why in the olden days, people who sense the astral dimension, they were put into what they call asylum, mental hospital or asylum, because they said they were insane. They didn't understand they weren't insane, they just experienced other frequencies of vibration, other realities. And they're still in many places today. If you have astral experiences, they put you into the mental institution because they think you are abnormal. They think that you're mentally ill, which you are not, just sensing higher frequencies of vibration. So, just imagine when you have a whole lot of people denying any non-material existence, millions of them suddenly begin to sense that an overwhelming pressure on them, an extension, you know, which they're not used to. So that can cause a huge lot of problems, as you can imagine. So, what we've been doing the last 30 years is to prepare you by what we call mantric resonances. Mantras are frequencies, energy vibrations of a higher order, higher nature than the normal material. When you use any one of those mantras, your whole body resonates at an infinitely higher frequency, your mind structure resonates at a higher frequency, your emotional nature, everything inside you begins to take on a higher undulation, movement of sound. Whether you look at sound as frequency or vibration or wave, it doesn't really matter, it does exist. So that's why for thousands of years the gurus gave mantras to the students, because individually the same applies as universally. Individually, the individual students were awakened to the higher realities through those mantric frequencies. Individually. That's what had been the way since the beginning of time. Okay, but now we're talking about not an individual awakening, but a universal awakening. And you can still do that through the mantric frequencies. You're still employing mantric frequencies to key up the individual's vibration. I don't know if you know about Indian music. What the Indian musician does is first tune up. They spend hours and hours just tuning the instrument up, so that when he plays the instrument, it will produce perfect vibration, perfect resonance, perfect sound. Same is when you play the violin or even piano, you have to tune it up, right? Those of you who play any instrument, musical instrument, you know that if you have the instrument in its natural condition, it's not going to make a perfect sound. So you have to tune up the instrument. Well, as a human being, you have to tune yourself up exactly in the same way. This is totally an instrument. Your physical body, your mind body, astral or emotional body, your soul is actually an instrument for the spirit. And it's out of tune. In the normal materialistic consciousness, it's 100% out of tune. So what the gurus always did up to now is to tune the disciples up through mantric formulas and meditational techniques. The whole idea was to tune those people up so they can experience interdimensional awakening. So what has been done individually by the gurus to their pupils over thousands of years, now we have to think on a much larger scale. This is the difference. You see, up to now, those processes were there for thousands of years in Hindu religion and Christian Buddhist religion and the Chinese, Japanese religion. In every religion, these processes were there. And as I said, it was applied a few people who were interested in the process, and they usually got there after many, many years of effort. But now we're talking about a mass revolution, a possibility of awakening for all of mankind. And there's dangers in it, and there's the possibility in it. So, if you individually do the tuning up process, which we've been doing, those of you in this group, for 30 years, you will have no problem with the new resonance, new vibration. What it is when it really starts, I would say it's the next 20 or 30 years or before, you will actually hear the internal structure, the internal stress, the internal sound in the atmosphere itself. At the moment, you can hear it in the heart chakra, and you can hear it in the head chakra, and you can hear it through the inner ear here, the internal sounds coming down. You can actually hear it purely as an individual expression. I've been hearing this sound since I was born, and I know how it relates to the inner nada or the Shabda Brahman, the divine God as manifest in sounding light. But it is on an individual basis. Now, as those great energies are pouring into the planet Earth, it won't just be an individual thing. That sound will be able to be heard everywhere, on the top of the mountain, everywhere. You can stop and hear that sound. Now, when that sound you can hear everywhere, you know that the planet is ready for planetary transformation. By planetary transformation, that means we have a new Earth. Completely a new planet, vibrating on a higher frequency. Just imagine that, the fish was in the sea at a certain frequency vibration, the birds in the air, the mammals on the ground, human beings everywhere, and they had a certain basic resonance vibrating. Now, what happens when this cosmic vibration, cosmic nada, the cosmic sound, the Shabda Brahman, the sounding light vibration, is actually putting a whole pressure on every single living entity on this planet, everything, the animal kingdom, the human kingdom, the angelic kingdom, the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom, everything. Then obviously something drastic will have to happen. The way fish exist will have to be different. The way human beings exist will have to be different. As I mentioned before, we are only as we are according to the terms of sounding light. We use the word sounding light very consciously, and we use the word planetary transformation consciously. Okay, so the sounding light vibration, which makes you up as you are, what if it's intensified to a higher pitch, to a higher frequency? So obviously then every human being will radiate higher frequency energies out of themselves, provided that they're able to do it. So that's where in the ancient religious mythologies they talk about the judgment day, the day where the sheep and the goat will be separated. You know, it's mentioned in the Bible, the sheep and the goat will be separated. But don't forget that Jesus was talking to country folk. His language is purely a farmer's language. So you have the sheep and the goat, two species. So Jesus said that when in this judgment day, everything will be divided into sheep and goat, two different things. Now you apply that to humanity, you will have the problem of those people who cannot register the new vibration. And then you have those who can register the new vibration. Now those who can register this new vibration, which will appear, you can hear it as a music permeating the whole planet. In the water, above the water, in the ground, within yourself, outside of yourself, when it's really descended already to that particular level. As I said, it's coming down, but it hasn't quite hit the physical dimension yet, but it is already on the etheric dimension, already stirring up the ethereal particles of matter. Okay, so when this vibration comes in, it will be like a melody, sounding light. It will be light and sound, sounding light. And you will hear it like a kind of an indescribable musical sound permeating everything on this planet, okay? Now, when you hear that, you can be liberated. You tune into that sound, and you go into interdimensional awakening. This will be your key. You bodily enter into the higher dimensions. Or other words, your consciousness, your conscious being, enters a higher frequency of reality, able to see the Buddhic dimension or the inner worlds, depending on, again, your possibility of attunement. And that's why it's important that you use the mantras, because if you can tune into a low key, okay, you will perceive the astral world and the astral dimensions and astral forces and astral entities. But if your vibration is extremely subtle and fine, you can perceive the Buddhic dimensions or the world of unities, the world of oneness, or the absolute, or beyond that to the ultimate realms of light, like nirvanic light. But that's just depending on ability to tune in. That's all. It's just ability to tune in, nothing less. Okay? So we have a problem of what happens to the 100 millions of people who are resisting the downpouring of the spirit because they don't believe in it and refuse to believe in it. They refuse to actually admit that there is something beyond their physical bodies. There's a lot of people in the materialistic circles, in religion, in science, in amongst the artists, among the politicians, amongst the farmers, amongst the tradespeople, amongst business people. There's a lot of them who refuse to admit that there's anything beyond their physical bodies and the physical objects they touch and see and hear. Now imagine when this high pressure frequency start playing on them, because it will play on everybody, there's no exception, it will just descend on everything and penetrate the whole earth. There can be a lot of problems. These people will, as I said, lucky a few of them might change, the others won't be able to change, and they will die of fright or something like that. It's just like, you know, you're sitting here and suddenly a vastness comes upon you. It can be very frightening. You know, if you never thought of such things in your life, maybe a lot of them never even had any religion. They never even believed that there's God or heaven or hell or something. They're not even aware that some other hierarchies exist. And suddenly, they're driving a car to their business or something, and suddenly, a vastness opens up. Well, the first thing is they go and crash the car, you know. They're not used to adapt to such frequencies of vibration. Now, if you accept the vibration, then you go a major life expansion or life experience. You broaden yourself out. You begin to understand things in a deeper way. So, it's very, very important that from now on, you just keep awake. Watch and keep awake. You know, when Jesus was before this transformation process, before he entered interdimensional awakening, this was, you know, symbolic in the Bible. He was arrested and he was going to be crucified the following day. You remember, this is all a very highly esoteric, symbolic story, the New Testament is. But he was with his disciples, and all of his disciples was gone to sleep. And Jesus was the only one who was awake. This is all very, very symbolic also. And then he said to his disciples, watch and pray. Rather than sleeping all night, stay up and watch and pray. Now, watch means to be aware, and pray means using your mantra. The word prayer is just a Christian word for what we call mantra, okay? Sound frequency, sound formula. It's simple as that. The Christians didn't have the word mantra, they used the word prayer for the same thing, okay? So you said, watch, be aware, and pray. Use your mantra, which he taught to them. Why? Because that awakening was imminent. He knew that he's going to go through the interdimensional awakening experience. And what he was trying to tell to his pupils, that if they did it, if they watched and prayed with him, they would also go through the interdimensional experience. But they didn't. They fell asleep. You know, fell asleep means that they just remained in the materialistic worldly consciousness. Okay, so the guru in those days could only liberate as many people who could watch and pray, who could stay awake, and who could use the mantra so that get to the interdimensional awakening state. Alright, so what we suggest from now on is to watch and pray. By watch meaning be awake, that universal liberating sound is actually coming, and you can already sense it individually, you know, in your individual inner structure, you can hear it. But as I said, it will become universally manifest. So just listen, because when that comes, when you can hear that, you will hear it in several ways. Either you will hear it like as a crackling of fire, like, you know, when you listen to a distant fire, or you hear it as a divine music, indescribable music, because this is actually several frequencies of energy, it's just not one energy, it's a whole massive energy sounding light field. So you will either manifest as a roaring fire in your consciousness, or like music, or like angelic singing or chanting, some like tremendous heavenly choir singing everywhere in the air. Any case, it depending on your own consciousness, how you're going to perceive it, because it's a multi-frequency energy vibration. So when you hear that, there at that moment you attain your liberation. And this is the opportunity for humanity. Before, up to this time, you had to be in an ashram. You had to be in physical touch with your guru, your teacher. You had to be right next to him. You had to be in a certain secluded environment with special diets and special routines of life and all kinds of special things. But now, when this universal logos or word is incarnating, literally, almost on the physical level now, it will be everywhere. So you can be sitting under a tree, or be in the kitchen washing up your dishes, or looking after your kids, or at work, and suddenly you hear that sound. At that moment, you drop everything, tune into the sound, and off you go. Enter the other realities, okay? And when you enter these other realities, everything that you have been, and you could have been in the past, will be wiped out. It will become meaningless. It will become just like a past dream, like a past experience. You know, we're talking about resurrection. Christians use the word resurrection, but we more like to call it, like, you may also use the word liberation, freedom. The Hindus use moksha, freedom or liberation, but even that doesn't explain everything. What it means is that you no longer be limited to the physical plane, the physical world experience. You will have the higher reality simultaneously with the physical reality. It's like the physical world won't be existing, only the higher reality. You know, even if you just manage to experience it on the astral level and know beyond, there will be no difference between the physical and the astral dimension. Or if you have worked very hard, you attain to the Buddhic dimension, which is called the world of unity or the world of oneness, then nothing exists except that world of unity and world of oneness. And at that moment, whether you have your physical body or not, it won't matter, because the physical body will not give you the sense of existence. This is very difficult to understand. When you enter into the higher dimensional realities, your mind and your body and your emotions, which gave you your meaning of existence, will cease to function. You will be existing in an ocean of infinite life, infinite light, infinite sound, infinite consciousness, infinite power, infinite love, infinite wisdom, infinite everything. So everything which you were before appears to be relative. You no longer be attached to it as your meaning. You know, at the moment, you're using your mind and you identify yourself with your mind. My thought, my idea. Okay? When you enter the interdimensional space, there will be no my thought, my idea. It will be the universal thought, the universal idea. Same with your emotions. When you enter the universal dimension, the interdimensional space, it's not your feeling, not your love, not your devotion. It will be the universal love, universal devotion, the universal ecstasy of life itself. So just imagine that we have this opportunity which the great sages looked for thousands and thousands and thousands of years in advance. Because they could foresee it, but they knew they couldn't manifest it in their own time. So we have that opportunity. And whether we're going to do it or not, there will be a crisis point anyhow. The crisis is unavoidable. Because even if just a few thousands of people will make it, the fact that they made it will cause a disturbance for the others. You know, it's very hard to explain because we basically have one energy field. All of humanity is really one. So if 10,000 of us enters into a higher dimension, they impact on the rest of them. And as I said, and if the rest of them cannot have that vibration, they cannot use it or sense it or utilize it, then of course it will going to be disturbing them. So disturbance there will be. It has to be, whether people like it or not. So the most obvious thing is to get as many people as we can to the higher frequency vibration. At least let them know that it exists. At least let them know that this tremendous planetary awakening and planetary transformation is possible and is on its way. It's on its way. We don't say that, you know, that everybody will become a Buddha in the next 50 or 100 years. Not so. You know, there is a kind of a silly idea that in the year 2012, you know, everybody becomes enlightened or a Buddha or something like that or a Christ. Well, that's not so. But what is possible is that increasingly larger numbers of people at least touch on the astral dimension, which is the nearest higher frequency universal world around us. And even that will change the whole planetary life. You know, if you have several hundreds of thousands of people conscious of the astral world, all the invisible entities around, all the invisible energies and forces around, all the powers and things and consciousness, well, that in itself will revolutionize the way we think. Everything will be revolutionized. It's unavoidable. But what if a lot of them attain the Buddhic dimension, even Nirvanic dimension? Well, they combine power, they combine energy field, consciousness will also put a lot of input into the physical world, and also that will shatter the normal concept of life. In other words, within less than 200 years, maybe 100 years or 50 years, you have a new earth, a new planetary transformation. Human beings will have to do things radically different. And as I mentioned before, a lot of people will oppose that. And all of this idea people do about saving the planet, saving the environment, that will be automatic. You don't have to, the Greenpeace guys don't have to fight everybody with guns and everything else, because once the human being has attuned in the harmony, it will not hurt the planet. It's not possible. Why people hurting the planet is because they're out of tune with the planet. They're completely out of tune with themselves. They're simply out of tune with the cosmos. They're out of tune, like an instrument which is gone bang, you know. So somebody needs to tune them up. And unless they are tuned up, they will be out of tune forever. However, as I said, the pressure will be on now for people to get tuned in, otherwise they will be left out. So what happens when they're left out? And here's an interesting question. What happens if you have 100 million people manage to go into the interdimensional awakening and 600 million people not? Then there will going to be a clash of civilization, or practically a clash of consciousness, practically a clash of the very existence of this planet itself, the very meaning of this planet itself. And it can actually be quite, you know, we don't want to make any what we call prophecies, because prophecies always fail. But what you can do is indicate possibilities. If you have a lot of people transforming themselves into the new energy and lot don't, then of course there will be a clash. But how that clash will result is again up to the total massive energy fields and the total circumstances which is evolving on the planet at the moment. It happened at the times of Lemuria already, and it happened at the time of Atlantis. We had an awakening at the time of Lemuria, which changed human consciousness. We had an awakening in the time of Atlantis, which changed human consciousness. radical change in the mass consciousness of that time. And in those days, it was also a big fight. You know, the Atlanteans, again, about 60% of them didn't take it, only 40% of them did, and there was a huge fight, where we call it the black magicians or the black face and the white face, those who believed in maintaining the status quo of the environment at that time or the consciousness of humanity, and those who opposed it, who progressed. So there was a clash between them, and it didn't come out very, very well. So practically, you know, depending on who is a large in number, the progressive elements of humanity or the regressive elements of humanity, but the clash has to be there. And then it will determine the actual planet itself, how the planet will function in the future. But whatever it is, it's no longer going to function as it is now. You will see that, you know, the next 50 or 100 years, many of the things which we do, we won't do anymore. You know, all the things which people think essential to life now will not be essential to life, and other things will be essential to life. And all kinds of human relationships and arrangement between people will radically change. Everything will change, especially if the, you could say, the positive side wins, the ones who entered into the higher dimensional experience. If not, they will still have an incredible impact. And even those who resist the ultimate reality will have to function very, very differently in this physical dimension if they want to exist at all. You know, it's like you take a whole lot of fish out of the ocean and you put it in a separate tank. Now, that fish have no choice. They have to exist exactly what the condition of fish is in the tank. They have no other choice. They just have to do it. If they want to live, they have to readapt themselves to the way of life in the tank. So humanity within the next 50, 100 years will have no choice. They have to adapt to that new way of life. Whatever it is, even the worst of them will have to adapt. But in the meantime, there could be a lot of problems, much more problems than it's now. This is just to give you a cosmic background, and then you just wait and pray, watch and pray. In other words, watch, being awake to things happening inside and outside, and using your mantras or sound formulas or frequencies, keep tuning yourself in, because it happens any time. It can happen tonight. You can tune into it, or it will happen tomorrow or the day after. In other words, individually it can happen to you now. Mass consciousness has a little bit longer time, up to 200 or 300 years as a mass. But individually, you can tune into the interdimensional awakening now. You could do it since 1875 if you had the right preparation. So far as an individual is concerned, you can make your own progress quickly if you do the right thing. Watch, be awake, and pray. Use your mantra or use your key formula to lift your vibration up, the vibration of the body, mind, emotions, and soul, and so on. Okay, so individually you can do it. And whether there is going to be a world revolution or not, you can still become a Buddha or a Christ or somebody, because it is your choice, because you want to do it. So regardless what's going to happen planetary-wise, you individually can choose your destiny. That's the big thing, that, you know, you don't have to sit and wait. Well, I'll wait until maybe 200 years later, maybe there's a big change. You don't have to do that. Individually, you make a choice. I'm entering into my higher realities, the Buddhic world or whatever, now, in this lifetime, in this cycle of my existence. The cosmos is very logical. It's truly scientific in the sense that it has its laws. It has its ways of being and ways of doing things. And in the same way as that, it's a law that you tune up your instrument before it can make a good sound. It's a law. You can't avoid it. So for us to enter into the higher dimension consciously, we have to tune ourselves up. It's a law. It's a cosmic law, and you cannot avoid it. And as I mentioned, the beautiful part of it is that whether anything happens in the world makes no difference to you, because individually you can choose your path. Individually, like the Buddha did, or the Christ did, or the great saints did, all the saints, they decided they attain enlightenment. That was an individual decision. Nobody made that for them. They made a decision, and they got this. So individually, you can make a decision. Yes, I am going through this interdimensional awakening phase, and I'm going to get it in this life cycle. And in this life cycle means while you are in the physical body, or in the intermediary time appeared at your desk or in the after death dimension. If you miss the cycle here in your physical body, and you miss the moment at your desk, and you miss the time interval on the interdimensional level, then the normal karmic law will take over and you will have to go to heaven or hell or whatever worlds and then come back into incarnation again. Just the normal samsara or the normal cycle just works for you automatically. So, but as I said, you have three chances now at the moment of death. And even if you miss that chance, there's an intermediate several years on the inner dimensions where you can complete the work. So if you miss that as well, I don't know, then that was a waste of time having you, you know. I mean, if after all these chances you miss everything, well, then I say good luck to you for your next lifetime in this planet Earth. But then it won't be the same. That planet Earth, when you come back to incarnation again, won't be the same planet Earth as now. It will be radically changed, you know. Because if you die now, you minimum, if you just follow the normal karmic cycle, you would be at least minimum 20, 40, 100, or 4, 5, or 700 years on the interdimensions, and then you come back into incarnation. Now, by that time, this planet won't be the same. You won't recognize it. It will be just totally different planet. Then you will come under another law, another psychic law of evolution, another way of doing things, okay? But you have three chances to make it, and what's important now is that the cosmos is helping us. It's in the divine plan. You're in your decision. Is actually helped by the divine plan. You know, this is the unique opportunity or the unique day for the planet Earth that your wish can be fulfilled. And not only one person's wish, but thousands and thousands and thousands of persons' wish that can be fulfilled. That's the magic and that's the great day. Day meaning a period of time, next 200 or 300 years, period of time, which the ancients have been looking forward to for a very, very long time.